Why do we celebrate the 4th of July? Anybody know? I know that's a loaded question.
Signing of the Declaration of Independence.
What is so special about the 4th of July? She just answered it. What actually happened was on July 4th, 1776. The Second Continental Congress unanimously adopted the Declaration of Independence to announce the colony's separation from the Kingdom of Great Britain. When I read that, I thought, well, I could expand on that quite a bit, but I'm not going to because I already got something else to expand on. My opening scripture this morning is John chapter 10, verses 1 through 5. I think Aaron's got it in the New King James Version, but I'm going to read it from the Message. James chapter 10, verses 1 through 5. I'm going to read from the Message. Jesus said, "Let me set this before you as plainly as I can. If a person climbs over or through the fence of a sheep pen, instead of going through the gate, you know he is up to no good. He's a sheep rustler. The shepherd walks right up to the gate. The gatekeeper opens the gate to him, and the sheep recognize his voice." And I want to emphasize that. The sheep recognize his voice. "And he calls his own sheep by name, and then he leads them out. When he gets them all out, he leads them. And they follow because they are familiar with his voice. They are familiar with his voice. They won't follow a stranger's voice, but will scatter because they aren't used to the sound of it." If you notice in that scripture, twice it says that he leads us. Or in the New King James, it says he goes before us. And I think that's very important because the sheep rustler does not go before us. He drives us, and he accuses us. And we shouldn't expect any less since he's the accuser of the brethren. Jesus is the shepherd, and we are his sheep. One of the ways that Jesus speaks to his sheep is through his still, small voice. Yes, there are other ways that God speaks to his sheep. But today I'm focusing only on his still small voice. Because it's very, very important that we get familiar with Jesus' voice and recognize his voice, as it says in John chapter 10. Or else we might get deceived by the sheep rustler, otherwise known as the accuser of the brethren. I've been asking God, I'm sharing my testimony and trying to tie this all together. I have been asking God recently, what is my purpose in this church? And why am I here? And I think those are valid questions. Recently, Jesus, or if you will, the Holy Spirit, spoke to me and he answered those questions for me. And he did it in his still, small voice. But before I share that with you, I want to give you a little background on where I'm coming from. I've seen many Christians hop from one church to another, always looking for the perfect church. And they come with an attitude that things need changing because the church isn't doing things according to their concept of how a church should operate. Thankfully, I have never been a part of that crowd. But I still will say this. The church that I come from was very, very different than this church. So how did I end up here? Even though I was an elder on the board and a co-pastor for many years, when COVID-19 came along, suddenly everything changed. I personally, without judging or condemning anyone else, I chose a path of faith in God and faith in God's Word. I chose that path rather than faith in secular humanism with all their hand sanitizers, plexiglass, masks, social distancing, and multiple shots. As a result, I was not allowed into the church that I'd been in for almost 50 years. I found myself standing alone in my chosen path of faith in God and faith in God's word. Yet, I was not alone because God was with me. Now, I would like to read to you Psalm 91, verses 1 through 10. But I'm going to read them in the way I read them. And I'm reading, I got it from the New King James. What is this up here? Regular King James? So if you'll follow along, this is how I read Psalm 91. As I dwell in the secret place of the Most High, I shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of my God and my Lord, you are my refuge and my fortress and my God, and in you I will trust. Surely you shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler and the perilous pestilence. You shall cover me with your feathers, and under your wings I shall take refuge. Your truth shall be my shield and buckler. I shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noontime. No evil shall befall me, nor shall any plague come near my dwelling. That's the way I concluded my decision to follow God and His Word. And the next scripture is Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. And this is how I live my life, or at least I try to. Proverbs chapter 3, 5 and 6. I will trust in the Lord with all my heart. I will lean not on my own understanding. In all my ways I will acknowledge God, and He shall direct my paths. And another scripture that I try to live by is Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. He's quick with that. I shall let the peace of God rule in my heart, to which also I was called in one body, and I will be thankful. And a note, the peace of God has guided me many times when I wondered where God wanted me, and that included not only in churches, but in the secular business world as well. For about 6 months, I did not attend church anywhere. And then I realized something. I was dying spiritually. I had come to realize just how important church attendance really is. I came here because I was allowed to attend without a mask. Simple as that. That's the reason I came here. I also came here as a wounded warrior. And I also came with an attitude of, I am going to sit down, shut up, listen and learn, and let God be God. Well, apparently I overlooked the let God be God thing, because apparently I'm not sitting down and being quiet right this minute. So, God, what is my purpose here, and why am I here? Now, this is why I open the scripture. To me, it is very, very important that we know and recognize God's voice, because this is what I heard the Holy Spirit speak to me. I did not place you here in this church to change anything. I placed you here to change you and not the church. It's not broken and does not need fixing. This church is entirely different from the church you came from. And that is why I placed you here, to see the difference, to accept the difference, and to be blessed by the difference. You are loved, and in this church, love reigns. Why did the Holy Spirit want me to share that with you this morning? Well, I'll let you draw your own conclusions about that. But as a footnote, being familiar with and recognizing God's voice, which is one of my points this morning, there are two phrases I hear Christians use that make me very, very cautious. I've seen and heard some crazy things from people using these phrases. And that is why I'm very careful about how I respond to them. And I'm very cautious about how I use them myself. Phrase number one. When I hear someone say, God told me, to me that becomes a yellow caution flag. Because I want to know, did it come from God? Or the accuser or the brother? And I also want to know, does it align with Scripture? And that's why it is so important that we are familiar with God's voice and that we recognize God's voice and that we are familiar with and know Scriptures. Now, I would just add, as I said earlier, there are many ways God speaks to us individually. I'm just focusing on that one because he does speak to us in a still small voice at times. Phrase number two, God told me to tell you. That, for me, is a great big red flag. Because if God wants to tell me something, God will tell me before he tells you. And after that, he may tell you as a confirmation for me. And even then, it must align with Scriptures. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. And with that, I would like to invite Sharon to come up.